So if you have any questions or comments about my lesson tonight, I'd be glad to answer any comments or questions. And if you're visiting, make sure that you ask someone if you have any questions on anything. Tonight for our class, I'd like to look at Timothy. Have you ever heard a sermon or a lesson on Timothy? I don't think I've ever heard any teaching on Timothy. Seth mentioned Timothy Sunday night, but as far as a sermon or a lesson on Timothy, I don't think I've ever heard one. And I believe the reason is that most preachers and teachers think there's so very little information about Timothy in Scripture that there's nothing to really say too much about him. Timothy himself never wrote anything. The wonderful letters of 1 and 2 Timothy were written by the Apostle Paul. Nowhere in any part of the New Testament is Timothy quoted or makes any statement. His character and personality are completely missing from Scripture, except for the information that the Apostle Paul gives on his comments on his faith. But I've found out that there are things about Timothy that we can know and understand, even though they might not be specific things. A few months ago, our high school class was studying a lesson book on the necessity of sound doctrine. And it really was a study of 1 and 2 Timothy. They were good lessons and lessons for preachers and information important to the church. In reading the lessons, I wondered about the man that Paul was talking about named Timothy. I wanted to look at Timothy the man. So I started looking, and I think I found information that we can use to call Timothy a great man, even though there's very little specific information about him. There are many references that tell us and show us what kind of a man he was. Again, they're not specific references, but when we think about him in relation to Paul, we can see the man, Timothy. We can see that he was a lot like many men in the church throughout history that were simply faithful servants of God, preachers who sacrificed everything possible to serve God, men who did not have titles or hold positions of power, but were men willing to go out into the world and teach the gospel, helping to establish churches. And I truly believe there have been and are presently many men that are Timothys in the world, or were in the world. Now, the dates that I'm going to use in my lesson are estimates that the Bible historians have produced using methods that are used to date all historical events. I'm a person who likes history, and I enjoy studying chronology, which is timelines and times of events. Even though throughout history, men have always disagreed about dates in history, and especially in Bible history. So it's sometimes a daunting task to understand, but there are ways of knowing dates. For instance, in dating and finding out dates, there's very interesting facts to know. For example, did you know that 10 countries today do not officially acknowledge that this is the year 2023? 10. Not officially. They have to use our calendar and our dates, but really officially in their countries, they don't recognize 2023. if we remember how we have our dating, yearly dating system, it comes from the birth of Christ, right? From the year one when Jesus was born. But you know that that date, Jesus never knew anything about that. The people back in those days didn't know that. The actual use of that, our 2023, wasn't even established until 900 AD. It wasn't accepted. But because of Jesus and because of people who looked to Jesus, they started numbering years by his birthday. And so just think about those kinds of things. But tonight, I want to look at the dates of Apostle Paul's life and journeys that can be calculated using the reign of rulers at that time. Dates such as the death of King Aretas of Syria in 40 AD, a year of Claudius Caesar's reign as emperor of Rome in 41 AD, the death of Herod Agrippa in 44 AD, and the secession of Felix as procurator of Judea by Porcius Festus in 60 AD, which are all facts that we can use to approximately tell when Paul did different things, and especially his missionary journeys. Knowing the date when something happened in Bible history gives us the ability to know when other things happened. God gives us clues to find out when things happened, yet dates really are only important when God explains them through Scripture. I believe it's interesting to find out as much Bible information as we can, and I believe it gives us a feeling of order in which things happened. And if you like history, then you like that kind of stuff, to where you know when something happened, and especially in the Bible. So I studied about Timothy and Paul, and especially their relationship. Timothy was born in Lystra, a city that is now in Turkey, what is now in Turkey, approximately 17 AD. Paul the Apostle said to have been born around 5 AD in Tarsus, making Paul about 12 years older than Timothy. The language of Paul in the letters he wrote made it sound like he was much older. In 2 Timothy 1, 2, chapter 1, verse 2, Paul says, "To Timothy, my beloved child, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." In Philippians 2:22, he said, "But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with a father he has served me with me in the gospel." Really, Paul and Timothy became very close because Timothy was a grown man. And when they met, their age difference was not that much. Just think about your age and how much, when you're grown, how much difference it makes from you to a person 12 years younger than you. It really doesn't seem to be that much when you're talking about older people. Timothy's mother was Jewish and his father was Greek. Timothy's grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice had taught Timothy the sacred writings. In 2 Timothy 1:5, it says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also." Lystra, where Timothy was born, was an area where churches had been established on Paul's first missionary journey. That is where Timothy became a Christian on the first missionary journey when he was in his 20s. We first hear of Timothy in Acts, the 16th chapter. When Paul returned to Lystra on his second journey, around 51 AD, he found Timothy to be very well recommended by his brethren as one doing the work of the Lord. Timothy would have been about 34 by then, and Paul wanted to take Timothy along as his assistant on the rest of his journeys. In order to avoid conflicts with the Jews, he had Timothy circumcised. This is recorded in Acts 16, 1 through 5, which says, Paul came also to Lystra and to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them for observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily. Paul said that Timothy had unfeigned faith. Unfeigned means genuine or sincere. Paul called it a gift. Timothy was chosen to the ministry as stated in 1 Timothy 4:14. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of the elders laid their hands on you. 2 Timothy, later on in 2 Timothy 1:6, Paul said, For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of the apostles' hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. This must mean that Timothy had been given the power of the Holy Spirit, and thus he was able to do miraculous things. Now, we don't have any record of that. As I said, he's not recorded as doing anything or saying anything in the scriptures. The experiences that Timothy had were truly unique, and that the Apostle Paul, sent by the Holy Spirit, was on a mission no other man has ever had. Yet the men who accompanied Paul and went through his travels with him could surely be compared to the travels of gospel preachers even up to our age. We can look at many places in the writings of Paul where Timothy is mentioned as being with Paul or being sent by Paul. Timothy remained a fellow laborer with Paul in all the trials and perils we know Paul went through. If you would, turn to 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 27. 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 27. Paul tells of the perils he went through, and we can take it for granted that those who were with him had to suffer some of the same. It says in 2 Corinthians 11, 23, Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes, less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day adrift at sea. On frequent journeys. In danger from rivers. Danger from robbers. Danger from my own people. Danger from Gentiles. Danger in the city. Danger in the wilderness. Danger at sea. Danger from false brothers. In toil and hardship through many a sleepless night. In hunger and thirst. Often without food, in cold and exposure. This is where we can see what kind of a person Timothy was. Paul's travels lasted for a number of years, and we can read about some, but not all, the places and amount of time that Paul and his fellow laborers spent together. There were other men who worked as did Timothy, but Timothy is mentioned on a number of occasions in the book of Acts and in Paul's epistles. Timothy is mentioned in 10 books of the New Testament, almost all of Paul's writings. And it's good to point out that they were written at different times. If you realize the Acts of the Apostles was written, one of the last books of the Bible written. It was written around 80 AD. This book of Acts and Revelation were the two last books in the New Testament. It recorded the Acts of the Apostles as they happened, after they happened. So they had to have been already there, and the information was written down. Timothy is mentioned in Acts 16 and 17. And the things that happened that he's mentioned about was during Paul's second journey in AD 53 to 54. But then in Romans, the next book, and in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians were written on around 57 AD during Paul's third journey. And then in Philippians was written in 62 and Colossians in 62 written from Rome. In 52 AD, Timothy is mentioned in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, where Paul wrote these letters from Corinth during his second journey. And then in 64 to 65 AD is when Paul wrote 1 Timothy. And then later on in 66 and 67 AD, he wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy, the last letter that he wrote while in prison, possibly at Rome, shortly before his death. And yet then we have the book of Philemon after 2 Timothy that was written before that in 63 AD, written from Rome during his first mission, first imprisonment. This list is the order that they are in the Bible, but you can see there is a difference in the years. It also shows the time and concern Paul had for Timothy, mentioned in almost all the travels and trials that the Apostle Paul went through. Paul's travels took him to the port city of Troas on the western coast of Asia Minor. Here he had a well-known vision of a Macedonian asking him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us," in Acts 16:9. We know that the Apostle Paul had gone on three missionary journeys and had started churches throughout Asia and Macedonia. On his second journey, he revisited Cilicia, visited Tarsus, and then on to the cities of Lystra and Derbe again. From Lystra, Timothy accompanied Paul through Asia Minor to Macedonia and assisted bringing the gospel to Philippi and Thessalonica. Timothy was with Paul at Athens and eventually was sent back to Thessalonica to help the new congregation in 1 Thessalonians 3:2, where he became highly regarded for his service along with his brother in Christ, Silas. Timothy traveled with Paul and others to a number of the towns along the route that he had established churches. The statements Paul made concerning the things he would suffer were things that men following would have had to also deal with. They encountered trouble from the Judaizing teachers in most of the places they had went. Paul was not able to be present in all the places needing his teaching and influence, so he needed other men, and he used his trusted disciples who he had trained for this work and sent them to other places. This was especially true during his two imprisonments in Rome. Philippians 2:19 and 20 says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." Timothy was able to travel to Corinth and Macedonia, sent by Paul to confront troublemakers such as Demetrius the silversmith. On Paul's third journey, we see Timothy and Paul at Ephesus again, where they were together for 3 years, until Paul sends him again to Macedonia and Achaia. Paul stopped a number of places as he made his way back to Jerusalem. Timothy and his company of other disciples preceded him from Philippi and waited for him at Troas in Acts 20, verse 4. We don't know whether Timothy was with him when he went to Jerusalem or in prison at Caesarea or traveled to Rome with him, but we know Timothy was with Paul during part of his imprisonment in Rome during this first imprisonment. Paul's imprisonment had started at Jerusalem. If you remember, Paul went to the temple and was confronted by Jews from Asia that wanted to kill him. They dragged him from the temple and were about to stone him when Roman soldiers arrived and saved him and stopped the fighting. But Paul was arrested and put in prison in Caesarea for 2 years before being sent to Rome for the first time. He wrote letters during that time to the churches of Colossae, Philippi, and Philemon, to the man Philemon, and Timothy was mentioned in each first verse of those letters as being with him. After Paul's release from his first imprisonment at Rome, both Paul and Timothy's movement are not known. Timothy was with Paul at Ephesus, where he left Timothy as he went on to Macedonia and charged Timothy to teach the erring brethren. In 1 Timothy 1:3, he says, "I urge you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine." Paul realized the need for a strong teacher of the truth to fight the false teaching at Ephesus. Paul gave that job to Timothy. Some were teaching the parts of the law of Moses that were to be followed. Some were involved in teaching ideas believed by ancient spiritualists called Gnostics. Paul lays out important rules to Timothy so he could guide the church at Ephesus, serving God, as we see in 1 Timothy 1:18 and 19. He says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightst war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have been, having put away concerning the faith, have made shipwreck." If you would turn to Acts 20 and verse 17. Acts 20 and verse 17. The separation at this time with Paul and Timothy is recorded in 2 Timothy 1:4, where Paul says, "I remember your tears. I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy." In Acts 20 and 17, it says, Paul makes a statement of his travels, and it's recorded in this set of verses. "Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, 'You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility, with tears, with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Can you imagine the feelings of the men that Paul was associated with and the feelings of the people that he had to deal with in the different congregations by hearing these words? In 2 Timothy 4, verses 9 through 13, Paul writes to Timothy from Rome, as a man who is facing death, to come to him. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. In verse 21, Paul goes on, do your best to come before winter. Eubulus sends greetings to you, as do Prudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brothers. Whether Timothy reached Rome before Paul's execution to help them endure is not known. Most scholars believe that 2 Timothy was the last letter Paul wrote before his execution. Paul loved Timothy, and he knew that the spread of the gospel and the stability of the churches depended on men like Timothy. Historians believe the Apostle Paul was executed in Rome by the order of Nero after the burning of the city of Rome in 64 AD. This would have put him at about the age between 55 and 60. Timothy and all the people who accompanied Paul during his travel and writing continued to preach and write. It is estimated that Timothy lived to be about 79, much longer than Paul, putting at the near completion of the New Testament by the years 81 to 96 by the Apostle John with the writing of the book of Revelation and the book of Acts in AD 80. Standing for the truth in Ephesus, as Paul said, was a warfare that Timothy had to fight. It was given not only to the church, but to all churches. Timothy is a great example of a man who endured hardship in traveling around the world to teach the gospel without fanfare or notoriety, and lived a life of service that many men since him and presently are willing to do. It's true that Timothy was a man who was special, as it says in 1 Timothy 1:18 and again in 1 Timothy 4:14, Paul says, do not neglect the gift that you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders and laid their hands on you. We see this as a necessity of the time when the New Testament was being assembled. And we can see this in men all through history. It brought to my attention the idea that after Paul died, was executed, and all these men, even Timothy, were killed for the cause of Christ, that there were men who continued to do these kinds of things, and they're not recorded in Scripture. But we know that throughout history, people were martyred for the cause of Christ and executed for their belief in God and their service to the church. But Timothy can be used as an example for us today as a man who dedicated his life to serving the Lord as a preacher of the gospel. His travels with Paul prepared him to be the very best of ministers to an area of the world that God wanted the gospel to go forth from. Ephesus was no doubt extremely important. Paul told Timothy again in 1 Timothy 1:3, as I urge you when I was going to Macedonia Remain in Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine. The letters to Timothy are outstanding letters of information given by the Holy Spirit that we all need. I believe that after Paul's death, Timothy made his home in Ephesus and there proclaimed the word, even though there were confrontations with people who hated the teachings of Jesus. Fox's Book of Martyrs and others historians agree that Timothy lived a long life, but was killed in Ephesus around 97 AD during the reign of either Emperor Nerva or Emperor Domitian by the hands of pagans who were always a part of the city of Ephesus. It's true, as far as we know, that men today who travel to spread the word of God through the world have not had to experience persecution, such as Paul and his companions. But in the past history of man, we know such persecution existed. Let us always cherish men who are willing to go to the ends of the earth or to places of hardship or even in our own area to preach the word. And may God help us that we never have persecution like Paul did. And that's it for me. Thank you very much.